Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
So let's read our mission together, starting with we. Ready, go. We catalyze human flourishing by cultivating spaces where people now let's hit these values one time for me. Run, start with innovation. Ready, go.
Innovation, authenticity, beauty.
This is the sifter through which we filter every one of our offerings to the public. If it doesn't satisfy these values and if it doesn't satisfy the mission we just read, we don't do it. And what happens in the city is that people's lives become exponentially changed and the value of their daily experiences are increased. Okay? So this is the way we worship God. We don't just gather here to talk about how good God is, and we don't just gather here to say, you know, we need to pray, we need to follow scripture. We don't gather here and just say those things. We activate our beliefs through an act of functional worship by increasing the beauty, the productivity, and the generativity of life in our city. All right? So let's go. So New Year's resolutions. I love Marlon's Community Builder talking about New Year's resolutions. I am one of the people who said I've been saying New Year's resolution since I was a little kid. My first New Year's resolution was to get all E's in conduct, like in the spring, like the spring semester. Y'all, I have never gotten an E in conduct. Like to all of you parents who have children with like discipline problems, like mama, where my mom at? She's outside with the baby. Oh, there she is. Mama, there's hope, right? There's hope for your child with discipline problems. Wouldn't you say thank you? See, I got every other letter. S, satisfactory. N, needs improvement. P, problem. U, unsatisfactory. I got all of those. I never could hit that E. I couldn't even get an E minus. So my baby laughing. But baby, you're going to get E's though. You're going to get E's and A's. You're going to just have vowels on your report card. My New Year's resolution when I was in like third grade, I was like, I'm going to get all E's, right? And I was like, okay, this is the year I'm going to do it. We're going to get back to school. And as soon as I got in class, I was like, I'm going to get all E's. I sat at my desk. I looked around, and I was like, what y'all doing for Christmas break? My teacher was like, go write your name on the board. I was like, oh, come on. First day back, I'm already up there on the board. That's easily an S minus. That's on the way to the end. So I am one of the people who set New Year's resolutions with like no plan. And then I fail first time out the gates, right? And I'm among 40% of Americans who make New Year's resolutions. And so just to give you an idea of how many people that is, that's about 127,000 people. A million. So there's about 318 million people in our country. So 40% of that is roughly 127 million people. So we got 127 million people who say, New Year's Day, this is it. This is the last time I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna start doing this. I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna be better. I was even in my little youth ministry saying, y'all pray for my attitude, because I'm gonna get all E's. Standing in a little circle like, yes, in children's church, like, yes, I'm about to do it. Couldn't do it. Still couldn't do it. So 127 million people. So 8% of the people who make resolutions actually keep them. 8%. So what that looks like on a numeric scale is about 1 million people, 1,016,000 people. So more people live inside the 610 loop than keep their resolutions in our country, you know? And so I think that's very telling of how much we want to be this resolved person, how much we desire to allow the turning of a year into another year to mark a turning for us into a new life, into a new lifestyle, into new habits, and into breaking old habits. We really want that, right? But only 8% of us can actually successfully achieve them. And so I'd like to offer a new approach to the New Year's resolution today, right? One that might stick a little bit more. And I have a tool that can help us as well. Why don't we resolve to be new instead of making a New Year's resolution? Why don't we resolve to say, okay, this year, I'm going to be new. I'm telling y'all, I sing this song, My Girl Likes to Party All the Time, about Sage, because she really likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. Huh? She is a one-stop party. I love that about her. She's enthusiastic like me, but she's socially graceful like Devon. I like that. But why don't we resolve to be new in the new year? Why don't we, instead of saying, this is my New Year's resolution, I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to say it, I'm going to just speak it out there, and the universe is going to just help me make it happen. Why don't we make a different kind of commitment to a renewed way of living, right? And there's some ways to do that. I love the Message version of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Anthony, would you mind reading, read all the way to him?
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him.
Stop right there. So this scripture speaks specifically to, what we spend most of our time doing. Sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around. That's pretty much the gist of our day, you know? And we build in some other tasks, but what if we resolve to be new in the way that we sleep, eat, the way that we work, and the way that we walk around the city, right? Tracy, will you start with don't?
Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God.
So what if we made our sleeping, our eating, our work culture and ethic, and our walking around, what if we decided to make that an offering to God and see how God inspires those things? Instead of setting some huge goal or some huge resolution that we lack the resources and the proper planning to actually execute, why don't we start with what we know we're already gonna do? And watch God revolutionize that. And then there's gonna be a ripple effect. And because you know if you change the way you sleep, you're gonna change the way you live.
Yes.
You know if you change the way you eat, you're gonna change your experience. Brian, am I right? Brian is a living example of that. This boy right here he is like Brian 3.0 because he changed the way that he ate. You know if you changed the way your perspective on your work and the way you work, it'll shift how you spend those hours during the day. And if we offer our walking around, if we offer our tasks to God first and allow God's intention for our good to be our sifter for where we walk around to, it's gonna shift the culture of our lives, right? But first we have to start with a communion. I love the blessing, the commune with Jesus. And that's not as hard as we think. Danny, will you read the rest of the scripture?
Yeah. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to him. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you.
What if we were able to understand what God wants for us and quickly respond to it? That's what I'm trying to teach Sage right now, is to listen and obey quickly. And when she does it well, she avoids injury. When I say, come here, baby, and she turns right around and comes, she usually avoids whatever I'm trying to save her from. Be that a fall, a trip, or rolling down the stairs. I don't know, whatever it is, in my mind, I'm trying to push her towards and keep her away from. When she turns quickly, she gets to what I want for her quickly. And I'm like, oh Lord, this Lord is really convicting me through motherhood, because I'm a slow turner. I'm a slow turner and a slow walker, because I like routine. I like things to be the same. I enjoy the power of being able to predict things. But God is calling us, I believe, in 2017, God is calling us into a more authentic, innovative, and creative way of living. But that means that we need to readily understand what God wants for us and quickly say yes to it. So there's a couple of things that I've read. I did a little research on how to like keep your New Year's resolutions. There's a lot of articles. 7 ways to not fail at your New Year's resolution. 11 ways, the 10 things not to do. And so I saw a few that I really want to share with you guys that I thought were good. One is keep it simple. You know, set a very simple goal for how you want to be different in the new year. A simple goal will give you the space and the brain bandwidth to actually put a plan into place to accomplish the goal. So if you say, okay, I want to change my eating habits this year, keep it simple. I want to do one vegetarian day a week. One vegetarian day a week. I just want to keep it simple. I want to, in 2017, I want to experiment with cleaner eating. I want to do one clean day a week. That's a simple enough goal. You can do that. There's enough places in the city, and then you can just like completely like eat all the meat you want the other 6 days so you can feel like you're not missing out on anything. But that's a good simple goal, right?
Right.
Right. Good. The next tip that I saw was to make it tangible, something you can touch, something you can see, something you can actually feel and do. So you have a goal of saving $5 a day. I'm going to save $5 a day. What that means is that you set up a savings account and a checking account, and you just move $5 over every day. Very tangible. You can feel that $5 going from one account to the other. If you like me, you can feel those automatic payments. When they come out, you can just feel it in your side. You know, like, oh, the card note just came out. Oh, okay. So make it tangible, you know. Make it something that you can physically see and feel every day. I like that. Okay. WebMD posted an article, and the doctor said, absolutes, like I'm giving up all sweets, or I'll never use my credit card again, set you up to try to get around your own overly strict rules. So saying something like, I'm never going to talk to this person again in 2017. And as soon as they call you, like, you know what? I was just thinking about you because I'm never talking to you again after this conversation. What? You've been thinking about me too? Well, then what you doing? Like, you know? Okay. So this is an interesting acronym. Has anybody ever heard this before? What does it stand for? So there's all these articles about what to do when you wanna like achieve your New Year's resolution, but not a very many of them talk about the triggers that keep you from actually accomplishing your New Year's resolution. So what usually happens is we're gung-ho saying, oh yes, this is what we're going to do, this is how I'm going to be new, I'm about to do it, and then you get triggered. And that trigger sends us into a spiral that sets us back. And so this acronym, Hungry, Angry, Lonely, Tired, is used in recovery for people who have chemical addictions. And so what happens is they say to these people, if you want to stay on the road to recovery, if you want to stay sober, if you want to stay new, these conditions are what you need to look out for because these conditions trigger your relapse. When you get hungry, you make irrational decisions. There's a t-shirt circling that says, I'm sorry for what I said to you when I was hungry. There's a term called hangry. Your hanger makes you say and do things that are outside of your normal fed character. When we're angry, we say and do things that we would not normally do. Anger has this ability, this power, to take us out of our normal selves, and we act in ways that are more aggressive, more compulsive than we normally will. Lonely, when we're lonely, our loneliness will drive us to make decisions. Loneliness and hunger are two very similar feelings. One is around physical pangs. This one is around emotional pangs, right? And then tired. When we're tired, we make verbal choices. We make, like they say, driving like sleepy is just like driving drunk. It's because your decision-making and your reaction time is impaired, right? And so this is, I believe, one of the ways that we can set ourselves up for success in the new year is giving ourselves this tool and telling ourselves when we feel any of those things, we need to what? What does halt mean? Stop. Halt means stop. Halt means pause. Halt means before you make any decision, before you say anything, there needs to be some space between how you feel right now and the next decision that we make, okay? And so I want to walk through what I've learned is some resolutions, because here, I'm trying to avoid a relapse of 2016 in my life. You know, there are some things that I said and did that came to an end when the year ended, okay? And so what I want to do before we get into the hungry, angry, lonely, tired, I want you to just think about this question. What happened for the last time for you in 2016? At the Supper of Last, we processed this, and Marlon talked about this last Sunday, but I just want you to bring to the forefront of your mind what happened to you for the last time in 2016, meaning what are you consciously bringing to an end now that we're in a new year? Some examples will be, I drank too much for the last time in 2016. I allowed myself to do blank for the last time in 2016. So just stop right now and find the response to this question. What happened for the last time in 2016? Okay? Now, turn that response into a simple and tangible goal for 2017. This is one of the ways that you're resolving to be new. This is the work of Christ in us. Coming to this place of realizing what God wants for our lives, just like Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, write down the tangible goal, the simple tangible goal that your response led way to. So you said what you did for the last time in 2017, turn that response into a goal for 2017. So this is the work of being resolving to be new, guys, is stopping and saying, okay, what do I know was not God's will for my life in 2016? We know. You're here because you have an understanding of what God wants for your life that is beyond the normal understanding. Otherwise, you'd be like at brunch somewhere, like whatever, I don't care. You're here, you're investing your time here because you know that God has something for you to enrich and increase the quality of your life to His glory. So this is the space to figure that out, right? Okay, so now let's go back to halt. Because halt, not halting, will halt the divine potential in you. Not stopping and continuing to go when triggered by these experiences will derail us from what God wants from our life and distract us from the purpose and the potential that He has for us. And we'll be busy cleaning up the messes of not halting instead of moving into like the miracles that God has for us, right? Okay, so the first trigger that I want to talk about is hunger. When you're triggered, when you're feeling hungry, when you're feeling an actual hunger pang, the solution is nourishment, which means not just running and finding anything to eat. This means planning your day to include nourishing meals, not waiting until you get hungry to figure out what you're going to eat. Because when you're hungry, you'll eat anything. And you usually, the way our bodies work, hunger and thirst are signs that we have gone without food for too long, not that we need to start thinking about eating. So we need to schedule our meals into our days like meetings, because we're meeting with a divine need that we have to be nourished in our bodies. It's not honorable to run and grind all day and not stop and feed yourself. It's not honorable to sacrifice self-care so that you can look and be available to everybody else. That's not cool. Stop it in 2017. Stop, okay? All right. Next trigger is anger.
Why are you not looking at me when you say that?
The next trigger is anger.
It's not cool,
bro. Stop. It's time to eat, Marlon. It's always time to eat. It's always time to eat, man. It's at least, think about it, man. We got, man, it's lunchtime, man. Shoot. I'm hungry. Then next trigger is anger. Anger is an interesting emotion because anger itself is not wrong. It's not bad to be angry. Anger is an alarm clock that something needs to change.
Wow.
Anger is like, you know, anger is the trigger that is a catalyst that ignites, you know, what needs to happen next, right? So anger is not bad. It's when we let anger drive us. It's when we let anger control us. It's when we let our anger justify the decisions that we've made that are harmful and aggressive towards other people, that anger becomes this not so great thing, right? So when you are experiencing the anger trigger, this anger trigger can cause you to relapse and go back to what you know and what's familiar and that's not necessarily comfortable, but what you can control and predict. Take some time out. Go find somewhere to be mad for a second. They can wait. Pray. Because you cannot lie to God. The truth in you and the truth of communicating with your Creator, God will help you sort through your feelings and diffuse those emotional tidal waves, and your emotions will begin to submit to the will of God. And then that peace that will surpass your understanding will wash over you, and you can come back to the situation understanding why you were angry, understanding what needs to be changed, but being able to communicate it with love and with respect so that it can actually happen. This is the way I want to walk into 2017, you know? And then breathing. Breathing tells your mind that everything is okay. So when you just start taking deep breaths, you're telling your mind that everything is okay. This inhalation of God's sovereignty and this exhalation of stress.
Woo.
It is a continuous communion with God when all we do is just breathe. And when we get angry, our breathing becomes shallow, it becomes rapid, it increases our heart rate, it increases our blood pressure, it tells us that a monster is chasing us, when usually today in Houston, monsters are not chasing us. Right? So time out, prayer, and breathing when you're feeling angry, okay? Then loneliness. Loneliness is a trigger. Loneliness is a bear that can awaken and inspire us. Loneliness will have us like in the bushes, you know, like, what are they doing? You know, loneliness can have us, loneliness will have us two cars behind somebody like, mm-hmm, you know? Remember that, who is that singer? Baby, I love you so much, I followed you today. What's that?
Orange Juice Jones.
Nah, don't go back there to the don't go back there to the room. All this stuff gone. Loneliness. I love that monologue. Huh? What did he say? Oh man, what's the name of the song, Russell? Oh, I saw you and him. He was lonely in that time. And he was angry when he saw him and her in the rain. So the solution to the Orange Juice Jones and you is community.
Yeah.
When you're feeling lonely, it's time to cultivate community. When you're feeling lonely, it's time to reach out to people that you know love you. And it's time to build healthy community with folks. Now, there's a different kind of community. Oh, okay. Well, let me see. I gotta give him a future reference. Oh man, I don't have no future references. They got the internet. Okay. Good. Thank you. So let me just say this: cultivating community. Let me put an emphasis on healthy community, though. Like texting somebody you up. That's not cultivating community. Like Netflix and chill is not community. Okay, I'm sorry. There are some ugly parodies of community that we cultivate that look like being together, but we're really just using each other. So when I say your solution to loneliness is cultivating community, I mean community that is righteous, community that is nourishing, community that can be seen in the light as well as in the dark. Okay, that's just let that be a sifter. Now, the last one is tired. Oh, Marlon loves to ask me questions when I'm tired because I can't lie when I'm tired. Like, I can't, like gloss over stuff. Like if I'm up, I'll be like, yeah, yeah, it was good, it was good. If I'm tired, I'm like, no, that was terrible. I hated it all. I don't want to be there ever again. You know? When you're tired, all your inhibitions are lowered. And so the solution to your tired trigger is rest. Say this one with me. Saying no and taking a break, big or small. When you're tired, your body is telling you it's time to just take a break, right? Like, energy is a finite thing. It runs out. That's why we got to go to sleep every night. And again, there is no honor in getting like 3 hours of sleep a night. Even if what you were doing while you're awake seems to be good and like helpful to other people, like, it's not cool to like deprive yourself of sleep. That's the number one way that the CIA and like these other organizations torture people, is by depriving them of sleep. That's how they get the answers out of people, right? So this is not, like, not giving yourself space to rest is not cool. This story, I just want to point out. Jesus left the house. He was followed by two blind men crying out, "Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us." When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe I can do this?" They said, "Why, yes, Master." He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." It happened. They saw. 2017, it's time for us to become what we believe. We know what we believe. We know we believe is right. We know we believe is good. We know what we have to do to take care of ourselves. It's time to become what we believe and watch God create this ripple effect of not just health and like maintaining the status quo, but like thriving and being fruitful and productive in ways that we never were before. It's time to become what we believe. And I love that Mr. Mead's blessing was to commune with Christ, because Christ is our internal, like the conversation that we have with God. Some might call it intuition. Some might call it that something told me. That's the Jesus in you telling you what's right, you know? So just listen to it and cultivate becoming what we believe. Lastly, Jesus says this: "All authority in heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, I've tried the typical missionary way to do this, like standing on the beach and like inviting people to like know Jesus. Like, that doesn't work as well for me as living like a productive and beautiful life that makes people become curious about who God is, you know? And so this, exploring what God wants for you and then cultivating simple, tangible goals in 2017, guys, that is how the kingdom is revealed in our lives. In our ordinary going to sleep, eating, going to work, walking around lives. Yeah. And that's it. Woo!